typed out in my notes this morning, and we are going to deal with the subject of dying, living and dying on the battlefield. And I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to retire or get to a certain age in my life and say, well, I've done my part, and so it's time to me to sit down and basically quit on God and let somebody else do it. I want to die on the battlefield. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith and finished my course. And he fought all the way to the end. And I want to look at another man this morning, if you'll go with me in your Bible to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter number 14. We're going to look at another man who was well up in age, and he did not quit, he did not sit down, and he continued all the way to the end. And my, what an example he left for us. So let's look at, if you will, Joshua chapter number 14, and we will do our best to try to complete this message this morning, if that's possible. However, I know my wife was up here at about 1 o'clock this morning, so she's probably wanting a short message. But she ain't gonna get a nap today. She's got way more to do. But I do want to say thank you to all. I ain't gonna start naming names. All of you who come up here and have put in so much work to get the church ready and the Family Life Center ready. I want you to know how much we appreciate that, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Anything worth doing is worth doing well. The Bible says we'll do it heartily and as unto the Lord. And if we're going to do it, then we ought to do it right. And boy, y'all surely did that. Joshua chapter 14, let's stand together and we'll give your legs a rest and stretch yourself a minute, and we'll honor God's word as we read it. Joshua chapter 14, verse number 6. If you're there, say amen. Before we begin reading, I got a public service announcement. I need your help. I had my glasses, my brand new glasses, in my pocket this morning in this building, and they have absolutely disappeared. And I spent 20 minutes before church backtracking every step I took. So if you happen to see a pair of glasses that don't belong to you, I would appreciate it if you'd let me know and get them back to me. I'd appreciate it. Joshua 14, verse number 6. Somebody said, do you need my reading glasses? I said, no, I went and changed the font on my iPad to about that big, so I can thank God for modern technology. Verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware unto that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in the day how that the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. Again, I want to preach on the subject of living and dying on the battlefield. How many of you, without raising your hand or speaking up audibly, how many of you sadly know people that I'm sure when I ask the question, they will be people who pop to your mind, people who once followed the Lord and no longer do, people who used to be on the front lines and were faithful and served God and was in the battle for the Lord, and now they're nowhere to be found. Ain't that tragic? Ain't that sad? I wouldn't dare call names, but when I was praying and preparing and studying for this message, I thought about people in this church who were in this church for decades, held positions, high positions, and they're no longer even in church. What a tragedy. What a sad testimony. And I mean, a leader. And imagine those, and I'm sure the mentality in their mind was, well, I'm older now and nobody's really following me. I know I was a leader, but nobody's watching or following me now. But I'm telling you, somebody's following you. Somebody's watching you. And even if it's not people in the church, which it usually is, but your family and your children are watching and following, and they will follow in our footsteps whichever direction we go. And that's a terrible, terrible testimony to have. Can you imagine meeting? I mean, it's bad enough for us to have them people pop into our mind and wonder, where did they go? What happened to them? Why did they stop? Why did they quit? But it's yet even a greater problem to think they're going to have to stand before God one day and give an account, give an answer. All the Bible said, where much is given, much is required. And God elevated them and God matured them and put them in positions and put them in a place to lead. And then they just quit. And I tell you, that's an awful thing. But we're going to look at a man who did not do that. If we was used the excuse or the mentality that you get old enough in the Christian life to retire, or you get to a certain place where you can sit down and kick back and relax, this man, the man Caleb, who wholly followed the Lord, I think at least three times in the text we read, he wholly, not H-O-L-Y, which that was part of it, but W-H-O-L-L-Y, he completely, with all of his heart, followed the Lord all the way to the end. And my, that's the kind of testimony I want. And that's the kind of testimony you should desire. But this story has always been a blessing to me, and for no other reason, this one. It lets me know that when I get older and when I get later on up in age, that I don't have to quit. I don't have to sit down. That there's still a place of service, and God still has a need for me and desires to use me in his on the battlefield. This wasn't like God just sent him out to pasture and said, tend the sheep. No, God, even in Caleb's old age, God still had a place for him on the front line. God still had a place where Caleb could rise up and say, I know there's giants, I know there's Anakin, but give me this mountain, no matter the age. And to us, to you younger ones, I start to say to us younger ones, to the younger ones, don't you desire to have not just people in the Bible like Caleb, but don't you desire and deserve
to have people in this church, gray-headed people who've served the Lord for decades and decades, to not get to a certain age and lay down and quit. I want that. I want my children to see that serving the Lord pays off, and there ain't an exit point. There ain't a getting off point. As Preacher Kerrigan used to say, I'm not retiring, I'm refiring. In other words, I'm not going to get to a certain age and lay down and stop on God. We need those kind of examples. Our children need those kind of examples to let us know the Christian life just gets better and better and bigger and bigger, and the only getting off point is when God calls us home. And we ought to be willing to serve Him till we die. Ain't you glad you don't have to die and, I mean, dry up and just quit on God? You don't have to lose your zeal. You can keep your excitement and your vigor, and you don't have to lose that oomph, that thing that when you remember when God saved you, that driving, burning desire that rose up in you. Thankful you were saved? Yes. I'm grateful that God forgave you of your sin? Hallelujah. Yes. But then immediately following that, I remember vividly that when God saved me, it wasn't long. I mean, within literally minutes or an hour, I had a desire to go out and tell somebody and to share with somebody that, hey, He saved me and He will save you. And it wasn't long after that I felt the opposition, and I realized that everybody wasn't going to pat me on the back and everybody wasn't happy for me. No, hardly nobody was as happy for me about getting saved as I was, and that there was an opposition and that I had entered into a war. And since September the 21st, 1991, I have stayed in this war, and I wish I could tell you there comes a point to where the world and the devil and even my flesh, the enemies that we have laid down and waved the white flag and said, I surrender, but they haven't and they won't. Until the day we die or the day Jesus comes to get us, we will be fighting and warring, and like they sang a while ago, I want to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. Amen. And so, sadly, that ain't the testimony of everybody. That ain't the testimony of every believer. Most Christians, when they get older, they mellow out and they slow down, and they use their age as an excuse. And they have the mentality, I've done my part. I've put in my part. Can I say to you, ain't you glad God didn't act that way towards you? I've been good to Him this long, so I've done my part. No, hey, God continues to wake you up. Whether you've been saved a day or 75 or 80 years, God still wakes you up with fresh mercy. God still wakes you up and loves on you and embraces you, and His grace is still sufficient for you. And if God ain't quit on me and God ain't quit on you, then age should not be an excuse for us to lay down on Him. Amen. Amen. And Caleb understood that. That's why he said, I'm not partially following Him, but I'm wholly following Him. Give me this mountain. I'm not going to leave it up to some young buck who don't have the know-how. And by the way, I'll get to this in a minute, but listen, do you realize young people do stuff. Old people know stuff. We need your knowledge. That's why you have generals who are not young anymore, but they have the mindset and they have the experience and they've been to battle and they know the war plan, and they may physically can't go out there with a gun in hand and operating the military weaponry, but they've been there and they've done that and they know what works and what don't. And I'm saying to you, listen to me, we need some men and women, some hoary-headed, some gray-headed men and women who ain't give up on God and who will say, I will lead and you can follow me. I know where the pitfalls are. I know where you'll fall. I know how to beat the enemy. Follow me and come to me and I'll give you direction so you can do what I once done, and I'll show you how to do it without making a mess of it. We need you. I make much of the young people in this church, and I emphasize the young people in the church, and I try to promote the young people in our youth group as I should and as I will continue, but I don't want to leave the older ones out. Hey, listen, we need you. It takes every one of us. We need the young people to do some things that the older ones can't do, but we need the older ones to guide and provide and give wisdom and pass wisdom down to those so they can carry on. It takes all of us. It takes all of us. Not all. I said most older people slow down and mellow out and sit down. Sadly, that's true, but not all. As I was praying this morning and meditating and studying, I got to thinking back about some of the older men and women in my life that God allowed me the privilege of serving alongside of and serving under. I thought about people like Preacher Kerrigan. What a mighty man of valor he was. What a warrior. He never got to a place where he laid down and quit, ever. Till his dying breath, he was singing and praising the Lord and praying and pursuing. And I mean, it was onward Christian soldier for that man. And what a legacy. And in my mind, what a legend. Made a lasting imprint in me. I think about people like Preacher Ed McAbee. He fought to the finish. I mean, he went on and on. Brother Larry Brown, he fought to the end. And many, many others. I think about even some that are still living. I think about people like Milton Taylor, that great godly man. I mean, he's way up in age and he's had all kind of physical maladies and mental problems and emotional wreck. And then he chooses to get back up and get back on the firing line and go out and proclaim the gospel and bend his knees and pray. You ever notice his shoes? He'll get a brand new pair of shoes and the toes will be pointed up just like that because he's down praying so much. Amen. He's a prayer warrior. He ain't quit. He'll get on the phone and call young preachers like myself, and he invested in me. I can't tell you the time Brother Milton Taylor would call me and just weep with me over the phone and pray with me, and he had no idea how low I was. And when I was pastoring down in Georgia, and I needed somebody, I needed some guidance, I needed a man that was way up in age and who had the know-how and the wisdom, and he showed me that he cared, and he helped me over some of the hardest times in my life. I'm saying, we need you. God needs you.
Amen.
The Bible said God holds the breath of man in his hand. And if he's still letting you breathe, I hear older people say this a lot. I just don't have no purpose anymore. I don't know why the Lord just don't take me on home. Why don't God just take me on home? There ain't no purpose for me now. If God's still letting you breathe, God's still got a purpose for you. Otherwise, he would take you home. So if you're still here and you're still breathing God's fresh air and his grace is still upon you and his love is still shining upon you and he still wakes you up with mercy, he still has a plan for you. So fight on. Lead on and leave a footprint and a trail for others and impart that wisdom that you've lived for so long to gain and pass it on to those who need it. Man. And so Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Don't you want to be a Caleb? If the Lord tarries, he's coming, and it's, you make it to way on up in years where your hair turns gray or turns loose. Say amen, Tommy. Way past your prime, physically, and even mentally. But I'll stand up and say, give me this mountain. God still let me live. And if there's a mountain that God will help me to conquer, I'll take that mountain. If there's an enemy that needs to be beat, God, give it to me. And Lord, if you'll help me by the grace of God, I'll take that mountain and I'll take that enemy. And I'll show these young people that it can still be done. Man. So, we need older people who you say, but they ain't no giants in our lifetime. And we live in the foothills, but I don't see no mountains. You know what kind of giants we need to see you conquer? Prevailing in prayer. That's a giant for most young people and younger Christians. Most people don't even understand what it's a giant to learn how to pray through. I mean, oh, we got good at saying cliches and memorizing prayers and hearing what other people pray, and we go through our little ritual, but I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about getting a hold of the horns of the altar and getting a hold of God and praying until God hears and answers, and we agonize. We need some Calebs. We need some Calebs who will pray through and conquer some giants and climb some hills and take some mountains in prayer and show this generation how to do it and that it can be done. We need some Calebs that are well up in age who still love the Word of God, and they will take the Word of God and they will quote it with their lips, and they will show it with their lives. Hey, listen, we need some Calebs who will be faithful to the house of God, and I'm going to show it's right there in the text that we read, but who will be faithful to the house of God and the people of God, and when your bones ache and when you don't feel like getting up and moving, I promise you, Caleb wasn't nowhere near as young and vibrant as he was 45 years prior when he went out to spy the land. But though his bones ached and though his hair was gray and though it was a harder struggle, he was still faithful to the people of God and the house of God. And we need some of you to show this generation that even when I don't feel good, even when it's hard, I'm still going to rise up and I'm going to go and conquer the mountain. And it may be a mountain just to get to church sometimes, but if you'll show these that even when it's hard, I will go. That's the kind of paths we need you to leave.
Yeah, that's right.
Because there's a mass exodus from the church. You know why? Because there's so few Calebs leaving trails that prove with their lives, not just with their lips, that I love the house of God and the people of God.
Yeah.
Your faithfulness matters. Here's what some older people said in their dying days who made it to the end. Paul, as I mentioned earlier, said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. John preached and faithfully stayed on the firing line until he was well in his 90s. Daniel lived for God faithfully all the way up into his 80s. I'm trying to say, even if you're old, and I'm not being disrespectful, and things don't look or feel or work like they used to, you may not be able to do exactly how you used to do, and you may not even be able to do everything you once could or with the same strength, but you can stay faithful. You can live for God. You can pray. You say, what can I do? I can't stand and teach a Sunday school class anymore. No, but you can sit in one. You say, but I can't get in the choir. I can't climb up there and get in the choir and sing no more. No, but you can sit in a pew and listen and be blessed by those who are. You can encourage those of the next generation, and you can prove to them this matters, because it does. Our actions are either teaching them that it does matter or that it don't. You may not be able to do what you once did, but you can do something. You say, well, what can I do? I'll tell you what you can do. Now that you can't do some of the things that you used to could, you got way more time to do some other things. You say, I just can't go and do what I used to do. Well, okay. then that tells me you got plenty of time to pray. You don't have to leave your house. You don't have to lift a finger. So about every excuse under the sun can be chunked out. You can pray. No matter your age, you can pray. You can read your Bible. You can pray. Hey, you can be an encourager. You know, it don't cost you nothing to be an encourager. Don't you think these young people, don't you think new converts, Brother Jimmy, need some encouragement in this dark day we're living? There's enough cold blankets and mossy back Baptists to run every new convert out of the church for them to never come back. Don't be one of them people. Be an encourager. Say, boy, I'm sure glad God saved you. I'm sure glad God worked in your life. I'm sure glad to see you praising God and to hear all God done for y'all at youth camp. And I just want you to know I'm on your side and I'm praying for you. And I want you to conquer your mountains and I'll help you. I will pray with you and for you. And I will be a help and an encouragement to you. You can do that. You can do that. Mentor a young person. Pick one of these out. And I ain't talking about just in our youth group. Pick a young convert, somebody in their 20s or 30s or their teens, and say, listen, I've been down the road you're walking. I know how hard it is. And if you ever need anything, you come talk. If you ever need somebody to talk to, if you ever need somebody to pray with you, if you ever want to have a Bible study, if you just want to have a cup of coffee or have lunch, or if you want me, hey ladies, if you want me to show you how to make biscuits, hey. Praise God, we need some of these young people to get over bisquick and learn how to make a biscuit quick. Homemade, baby, yeah. A pone of cornbread. Talk to me. There's always something to do, no matter your age in the Christian life. There's something you can. Don't feel useless. Caleb could have laid down and said, well, I'm just too old. But he said, no, if God will help me, I'll take this mountain. Amen. Be a giver. So I can't do this. That. No, you can give. Amen. You can support. And I'm not going to give names, and I'm not going. They didn't want it given out. But do you know this year, where God moved in such mighty power, youth camp, and our young people got set on fire, and I mean they got to experience all kind of things that only heaven will reveal. And normally we have to do fundraisers and this and that and the other. Do you know somebody in our church? God blessed them through a situation, and somebody comes and said, "Preacher, I care about our young people. I love them, and I want to help them, and I want to encourage them. Here's a check for every one of them to go to camp free of charge. Amen. Pay for our whole youth camp. You can give. Right. This person couldn't go. They couldn't do a whole lot, but they could give, and they could encourage, and they could help. Amen. And so can you. And do you know that was a mountain for many of our young people that probably they were scared to death. They wouldn't even be able to go. It was a mountain staring them in the face. And this person, by the help of God, removed that mountain because God enabled them to do it. Find someone or something. Find somewhere that you can serve with the time God's given you here on this planet. And make up your mind you're going to do something. And you're going to do it to the best of your ability for the glory of God. Amen. I'm going to read the words of that song they sang. I sure ain't going to sing it. You heard it sang already, so no need for me to do it. But listen to the words. One day as I was thinking on unseen things above, the Savior spoke unto me and filled my heart with love. Now I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in the war. I want to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. I want to get to the end of my journey not having hung my Bible up and I ain't not having cashed in on my prayer life. I want to live for God until He calls me home. Don't you? The Bible talks about being castaways. Don't become a statistic. Don't become one of them bywords or one of them people that say, boy, they used to serve God. I'll tell a story real quickly. And all this is introduction, so there ain't no way we're getting done with this one. But I'll tell a story in closing, and listen to me. Thankfully, this person got back on the firing line, because this person was my mama. But my mama had backslid, and she'd got out of church when we were young. I went to Hammock Grove Baptist Church, and Grandma, even when my mama wasn't going, Grandma took us boys to church every Sunday and every Wednesday. And they got a new preacher. His name was J.D. Brogdon. He was a great, godly man of God. And he, Grandma and some, they begged her to come, and my mama slipped in on after church had started, and slipped in and sat down on the back, and Preacher Brogdon would walk down them steps at the old church building at Hammock Grove, and he'd stand there and he'd shake hands with people as they'd come out of the church. And she thought she'd slip around him, but there he was, and she had to face him face to face, and he put that big old hand out and grabbed her by the hand and said something to the effect of, I heard you used to be one of the sweetest little Christian women. I heard you used to be. And she said it was like a lightning bolt of conviction stabbed her in the heart. God, the Holy Ghost, got a hold of her. She didn't want to be a used-to-be Christian. She didn't want to be a has-been Christian. And God used that statement and that man of God to get a hold of her and show her she needs to be back on the front lines. She needs to be back in. She's got three boys to raise, and she's got a life to live. And hey, listen, that may be where you at. You may have thrown the towel in. Pick it back up and get back in the game and get back in the war and get back in the battle, because, hey, people are needing you. Your children, your family, your friends, your co-workers, this church, this community need you on the battlefield, on the front lines, saying, God, by your grace, if you'll give me this mountain, I'll go for you. I'll fight for you. I'll climb for you. I'll do whatever it takes. God, put me back in. I don't want to be a has-been. I don't want to be a statistic. And Caleb didn't allow his age to stop him. Let me read you this verse, if I can find it, in closing. Verse 10 said, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake the word unto Moses with the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I think he's about, what is that, 85 years old? Huh? 85 years old. So God kept him alive, and he understood God kept him alive, and he knew God kept him alive for, listen, if you breathing, you have a purpose. And I encourage you, find your purpose. And throw the pitiful excuse out the window. Well, God's just done with me. I'd be better off in heaven. If you'd be better off in heaven, you would be in heaven. You are here. God kept you living for a purpose. He has a plan for you. He has a mountain for you to conquer. And He has a trail for you to leave of experience to impart to a younger generation. Verse 11 says, as yet I am strong this day as I was in the day of Moses, that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, here it is, if so be, the Lord will be with me. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. You know what Caleb was saying? I'm 85 years old. I know me. I've lived with me. I know my weaknesses. I know I ain't what I once was. I know I can't do what I used to do. But if the Lord will be with me, I'm able. If he will enable me, I'm able to do whatever he wants me to do. I will, by the grace of God, if he will enable me, do whatever he wants me to do. If that involves me climbing a mountain, I'll be an 85-year-old mountain climber.
Amen.
If that involves me killing giants, I'll be an 85-year-old giant killer. But it's going to take the Lord enabling me. God ain't asking you to do something you can't do. But God's saying to you, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There ain't nothing you can't accomplish if you'll get back on the firing line. I give that illustration about my mama. And I don't remember any of her Christian life prior. I have just a splotchy memory of her being in church prior to that. But her greatest days and the greatest imprints and impressions that were made in my life was after she got back on the firing line and God enabled her to be a mama, a godly mama, and a servant and a warrior for the Lord. So I don't care where you've been, what you've done, God can restore the years that the cankerworm has eaten, and God can restore your life, and he will enable you to be the best mama, the best daddy, the best grandparent, and you too can be a mountain climber no matter your age. And there's a host of people who need you. If you'll just get willing, say, Lord, if you'll help me, I will use my wisdom that I've learned over these years to help these younger people do the job.
Amen.
No, I can't go out and knock on doors no more. All I can do is get to church, then get to church, and tell them and teach them who you be the know-how, and let them be the ones who do it. Because they don't have the know-how and they don't know how to do it, and they need you to show them. Lord, if you'll enable me. Lord, if you'll help me. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. Anything in your life, any giants in your life you need driven out? If you've conquered all the giants in your life, can I say this? These young people, your children, your grandchildren, have giants you know not of, and they need you to help them. Show them if the Lord's with you and enabling you, they too can drive them out. I'm saying, simply put, we're done. We need you. From 8 to 80. Blind or crazy, we need you. God needs you. Get in. Get in. Say, when do I start? Sign me up. Okay. You see all these decorations? You see the battlefield? The theme. God kill me standing where I'm at if I'm lying. I didn't even think about Bible school when I was preparing this message. Never even crossed my mind, but it's the same theme. It's the same message. And so you know how you can start imparting wisdom and showing these young people that God matters, the church matters, the house of God. You say, that's just Bible school. Vacation Bible school is for kids. Why do you think we changed it to family vacation Bible school?
Amen.
Church vacation Bible school. You should be here because you need it. And you should be here because they need you to be here to show them it matters. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, help me to be like Caleb. Help these, God, that are getting older. God, the hoary-headed men and women in our church, those with wisdom. God, help them to feel and to see how appreciated and how grateful we are for them, and how much we need them, how much these younger ones need them. God, they've already blazed a trail. God, they've already put so much in and given so much, but Lord, there's no room and no time to quit now. If we've ever needed them, Lord, we need them now. Show them, show that one, God, encourage that one that feels like they have no purpose and no rhyme nor reason for why they're even still here. God, show them, reveal to them you have them here breathing for a reason and a purpose, and you have a plan for their life. Oh God, yoke up some of the older ones with some of the younger ones. God, that the younger ones wouldn't fall in the same pitfalls that we did. And God, that they'd be able to overcome their giants and climb their mountains, Lord, for the glory of God. Caleb wholly followed you. Give us some people, Lord, that are willing to wholly follow you. Lord, if you'd be with us, God, we can do anything. We'll be able to do anything. Help now, Lord. Help our families. Be with us this week, God. Be with us this week during Bible school. Touch Brother Wagner, Lord. God, help Brother Bo, Lord, as he prepares and comes to preach, Lord. I pray you'd give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say unto us. God, I pray you'd bring lost people in and they'd see the battle that they're in. God, you'd save them for Jesus' sake. Strengthen our church, God. Thank you for our church. Thank you for everyone that makes up our church. God, I pray you'd bless, encourage each and every one. Especially those, Lord, that are older. I pray you'd really encourage them, God. Help them know how much we appreciate them, how much we need them. We love you in Christ's name. As these are praying, you do business with the Lord.